from Srimad Bhagavatam, from Canto.
Especially, we'll speak at the point where Shukadeva Goswami has explained when he narrated the Rasa Leela to Pritchett Maharaj. But Pritchett Maharaj notices that in the assembly of sages and yogis gathered, some of them are not pure Vaishnavas and they have doubts about what they've just heard. Pritchett Maharaj is very shrewd, and with his keen vision, although he has just 7 days to live, he's fully conscious of what's happening. And he notices Shukadeva Goswami has described so wonderfully the Lord's Rasa Leela, but I detect that in the audience there are karmis and gyanis, those attached to elevation to the heavenly planets, and those attached to philosophical speculation. They're not pure bhaktas, therefore they have doubts. For the sake of these doubters, Pritchett Maharaj presents questions to Shukadeva Goswami about the sanctity or the purity of the Lord's Rasa Leela. So let us begin in the 33rd chapter of the 10th canto. Shukadeva Goswami has finished his Rasa Leela description. Then the Lord strolled through a small forest on the bank of the Jamuna. This forest was filled to its limit with breezes, carrying the fragrances of all the flowers growing on the land and in the water. Followed by his entourage of bees and beautiful women, Lord Krishna appeared like an intoxicated elephant with his she elephants. Although the gopis were firmly attached to Lord Krishna, whose desires are always fulfilled, the Lord was not internally affected by any mundane sex desire. Still, to perform his pastimes, the Lord took advantage of all those moonlit autumn nights which inspire poetic descriptions of transcendental affairs. Krishna is known as Satyakama. His desires are always fulfilled. That is the difference between us and the Supreme Lord. Krishna has unlimited desires, and they are unlimitedly fulfilled. We have a few desires, materially speaking, and there's always problems in fulfilling them. So if you simply remember that Krishna is Satyakama, his desires are always fulfilled, you can understand what is God. Now, you have the deep attachment of the gopis for Krishna. Indeed, they knew nothing else except Krishna. And you have the Lord himself, who is not affected by any mundane sexual feelings. Nevertheless, to perform his pastimes, meaning there's no reason, Krishna's under no obligation. Still, just to please his devotees, he performed his pastimes. How? By taking advantage of the beautiful moonlit autumn nights. In this way, you see that the Lord is the supreme enjoyer. Why it is that tiny human beings can try to enjoy a beautiful moonlit autumn night, but the Supreme Lord cannot? In fact, the only reason why you can try to enjoy a beautiful moonlit night is because you are part of Krishna. He has that desire first, therefore you can have it. But Krishna is self-sufficient. He's complete in of himself. He doesn't depend on anything outside of himself. Even when he's having his Rasa Leela, he's not going outside of himself. He's simply dealing with his own energies. When we try to enjoy, we go outside of ourselves, and therefore there are problems. So please picture in your mind the beautiful moonlit autumn nights in Vrindavan. This is what Krishna took advantage of to reciprocate with his devotees. Now Krishna Maharaj is going to bring forth the doubts. Please listen carefully. Sri Parikshit Uvacha Samstapanaya Dharmasya Prashamaya Tarasya Cha Avatirna Hi Bhagavan Amshena Jagadishpada Sakatam Dharma Sevitunam Vakta Tarta Virakshita Pratipam Achara Brahman Parada Vimarshanam. Prishit Maharaj said, O Brahmana, he's speaking to Sukadeva Goswami, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of the universe, has descended to this earth along with his planetary portion to destroy your religion and to reestablish religious principles. Indeed, he is the original speaker, follower, and guardian of moral laws. How then could he have violated them by touching other men's wives? So please, in your mind, formulate this question by Prishit Maharaj so that you can profit from his presenting this doubt to Srimad Goswami. Not his own doubt, but the doubt of those who are not pure Vaishnavas, who are in the audience. Just first of all, let us review the Lord's mission in this world. Samstapanaya Dharmasya. He comes to this world to establish religious principles. And what else? Prashamaya Charasya Cha. He comes to destroy irreligion. This is the reason why his avatar descends on this earth, along with Balaram, his planetary expansion. The Lord is Jagadishvara. He's the controller of the universe. And he's the knower of restrictive codes of moral behavior. He's the original speaker. He's the executor and the protector of religious codes that restrict behavior. So how could he dance with others' wives, touching them? That is the question asked by Krishna Maharaj. Notice how his questions are packed with so much knowledge. You can learn so much just by meditating upon the questions Prishit Maharaj asked. What to speak of listening to the answers that Sukadeva Goswami gives. So here you have the paradox. Jagadishvara, Lord of the universe, the maintainer of religion and the destroyer of irreligion, the original speaker, follower, and guardian of moral laws, is violating them by dancing and touching other men's wives. So that question by Prishit Maharaj sets the stage, sets the scene for understanding properly Krishna's Rasa Lila. Prishit Maharaj continues. He knows how to build up the presentation. Bhagavatam is an art, it's a science, it's a culture. So even when someone asks a question, they do it with such artistry that your mind is forever attracted to the Bhagavatam question. What to speak of the Bhagavatam answers? So Prishit Maharaj continues, framing his presentation to Srinivasa Goswami. Aptakamo yadu pati kritavan by jagupsitam kim abhikaya e tanya Shamsayam Sindhisu Vrata. Alright, let's understand further about the Supreme Lord. That understanding is there in Prichit Maharaj's presentation. The Lord is Aptakama. He's self-satisfied. He's Yadupati. He's the master of the Yadu dynasty. So then the question is, how it is that the self-satisfied Lord of the Yadus is behaving in a way that appears to be so contemptibly, so off-base, so morally corrupt. It appears that way. So Prichit Maharaj asks Shukadeva Goswami. He calls Shukadeva Goswami Suvrata, O faithful upholder of vows. In any real human civilization, it is very important to uphold vows. But in today's animalistic world, people don't care about vows and promises. Whether they're marriage vows or vows of renunciation, any kind of promise, no one cares. You think it's morally justified that when I said the promise, when I made the promise, I was sincere. But now circumstances have changed. So my mind has changed. What's the problem? When I promised, I really meant it. But now it's different. Everyone can understand that. And of course, everyone in college probably even nods their head. Yes, yes. This is the morality of tax and laws. That's problem, though, if you find this. But here, Prichit Maharaj is referring to Shukadeva Goswami as Suvrata, O faithful upholder of vows. Please destroy our doubts by explaining to us what's the purpose of this apparently abominable behavior by the Supreme Lord. And as you know, in talking to anybody about Krishna, doubts come in the minds of people who are not understanding the Lord's transcendental nature. They can't understand. How is it that your God dances with others' wives in the middle of the night? They see everything material. They don't understand that everything is Krishna's energy. And Krishna is self-sufficient. He's not going outside of himself. But when people do not understand the Supreme Lord, they think, oh, he's behaving just like we would behave. He needs to have pleasure, and so he goes outside of himself to dance with these women. And of course they don't understand that Krishna is not dancing with anyone who has a material body. Finally, of course, everyone belongs to Krishna. So how is it that Krishna is dancing with others' wives when everyone and everything belongs to Krishna? So let us now hear Shukadeva Goswami's brilliant reply. Sri Shukavacha Dharma Vyaktikrama Krishta Ishvaranam Tasahasam Tejiya Samadoshaya Mahnesa Ujayata. Shukadeva Goswami said, the status of powerful controllers is not harmed by any apparently audacious transgression of morality we may see in them. For they are just like fire which devours everything fed into it and remains unpolluted. This is a famous response by Shukadeva Goswami. Teji asanadoshaya. Those who are spiritually potent, whatever they do leads to no fault. He gives the example of fire. You can drop anything into a fire, so-called pure or impure, and the fire consumes that thing without being affected, without being polluted. So a great personality does not fall from his status or position by any so-called irregularity in behavior. Tejiasamadoshaya. Those who are truly extraordinarily powerful, whatever they do has no fault. Now, your next thought may be, well, I can be like that. I can become powerful in the ordinary estimation, and I can do whatever I like. No, Shukadeva Goswami explains further what he means by an abnormally powerful person. He says, one who is not a great controller should never imitate the behavior of ruling personalities, even mentally. In other words, don't even imitate these things in your mind. If you're not an Ishwar. If out of foolishness an ordinary person does imitate such behavior, he will simply destroy himself. Just as a person who is not Rudra would destroy himself if he tried to drink an ocean of poison. So here we understand clearly that these powerful persons that Shukadeva Goswami is talking about are not powerful mundane persons. They are rarely powerful spiritual persons. And you can't imitate them even in your mind. This is the standard that Shukadeva Goswami is presenting. And then he refers to Krishna's devotees. Those who are actually devotees have no reactions to their activities. They're free from false ego. They're not bound by karma. When they act in this world, there's no contamination. So then, Shukadeva Goswami, like a lawyer, making his case that if that's true for what you can see, the great devotees of the Lord who are beyond karmic activity, certainly it must be true for the Lord of everyone. How can the Supreme Lord have any connection to piety and impiety? Piety and impiety is for the creatures of the creation. It's not for Krishna. The Lord is free from the law of karma. He himself creates the law of karma. So why should he be under the law of karma? By acting in such extraordinary ways, as in Rasa Leela, Krishna is showing you clearly who is God and who is not. He's showing you there is a difference. I can do this, you can't. Now think about the reasons why I can do this and you can't. Shukadeva Goswami goes on to explain the same point about things that should be more easily understood in a spiritual civilization. In a spiritual civilization, everyone can see the lives of great devotees of the Lord. So, based on their observation of great devotees of the Lord, who are free from karma, they should understand that the Lord himself, who is worshipped by these great devotees, also acts free from karma. In other words, what's good for the devotee is also good for the Lord. So it's a reverse way of presenting the situation. Now you might be saying, well, how can Shukadeva Goswami make his point based on devotees acting beyond karma? In other words, Shukadeva Goswami is using the known to present something less known. But you have a real human civilization that Shukadeva Goswami is living in. Therefore, the known thing, the known factor is that there are great devotees who are beyond the laws of karma, no matter what they do. That's known. Of course, in today's society, that's not known. So you have to understand Sri Vivek Goswami's words in context. He's pointing out, you know, you can see that there are great devotees who can act in ways beyond the laws of piety and impiety. Therefore, you should be able to understand something that is less obvious, that the Lord Himself, although you can't see Him, He can act in a way free from karma. If the devotees can do it, certainly their worshipful Lord can do it. So that is Shukadeva Goswami's mind presentation. So then he says, Yathara Pankaja Paraga Nishema Tripta Yoga Prabhala Vijita Vijitakula Karma Bandha Swaram Charanti Munaya Pinana Yamanas Tasyeshtayata Bhakusha Puta Eva Bandha. Material activities never entangle the devotees of the Supreme Lord, who are fully satisfied by serving the dust at His lotus feet. Nor do material activities entangle those intelligent sages who have freed themselves from the bondage of all fruit of reactions by the power of yoga. So, how could there be any question of bondage for the Lord Himself, who assumes His transcendental forms according to His own sweet will? Now, Sukadeva Goswami is going to describe more about that Supreme Lord, who is obviously as free as His devotees are. He explains that the Lord is within the hearts of the gopis and their husbands. Indeed, He's within the hearts of all embodied living beings. How can you say that Krishna has gone with the gopis to a secret place in the middle of the night, when He's already in everyone's secret place? He's in the core of everyone's heart. So what's the big deal about going to a secret place in the forest, when Krishna's already in the most hidden part of you, the core of your heart, as the super soul? And of course, everyone is part of Krishna, everyone belongs to Krishna. So Krishna is not taking anyone's property. He's simply interacting with His own property, His own spiritual energy. So why does He do these things? If you say Krishna is self-sufficient, why is He having just Rasa Leela? Sukadeva Goswami deals with that point. Anugraha bhaktanam manusham deham astita vajate tatrishni vida yashutva tatparo bhave. What's the first reason? Anugraha bhaktanam, to show mercy to His devotees. How is that mercy? Because the Lord acts in such a way, He performs pastimes that will attract those who hear about these pastimes, and then they'll become dedicated to Him. So that is the mercy. People are attracted to hearing about romantic affairs. They will dedicate their whole life to trying to get some good romance. They'll remember memories of romance that happened 30 years in the past. They'll hold tightly to those memories. Everyone is fascinated by romance. Even persons who cynically give up on romance, still, that cynicism is based on their failure to have proper romantic affairs. So Krishna knows how to capture your attention. He's through His Rasa Leela, He's saying, okay, you want to see romance? You're so interested in romance? I will perform romantic activities that are unparalleled. And they're completely pure. There's no material bodies involved. Krishna is engaging in his pastimes, has mercy for the devotees. First of all, to reciprocate with the beloved gopis, who are pure devotees. Their bodies are completely spiritual when they dance to Krishna. And also Krishna is acting in this way to show mercy to those who would hear about these pastimes, so they'll become attracted to Krishna and become free from material nature. Now, just to help you swallow this, Shukadeva Goswami is going to give you some behind-the-scenes information. Nasulyan kalam krishnaya mohitas tasya mayaya manyamana saharsvastan swan swan dhanan rajokasha. He explains that don't feel bad about the husbands of the gopis. You might be thinking of it. Okay, the gopis were having this extraordinary time dancing with Krishna. What about their husbands at home? Weren't they getting jealous? Weren't they disturbed? You might think in that way. So Shukadeva Goswami knows you could think in that way, and he explains that by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, the Lord's spiritual potency, the power men thought that their wives were at home with them. In other words, the Yoga Maya potency, the Lord created doubles. This is how perfect Krishna's pastimes are. So, there was no question of the husbands becoming jealous because they thought their wives were right there all the time. Now, why is it that the gopis have husbands anyway if they're just going to dance with Krishna? Why is that? You see, the Lord arranged their apparent marriage to other men. Why? Simply to create excitement in the whole leela. Simply to heighten the excitement, to make it very daring, to make it very interesting. Krishna arranged that apparently the gopis had husbands. It's all part of the drama. But of course, Krishna is completely pure, the gopis are completely pure. In this way, Krishna shows that you cannot imitate the Supreme Personality of God. And what was the nature of the night of the Rasa Leela? Although you're dealing with earth time, this is Boma Vrindavan, Boma Leela, Krishna's spiritual leelas displayed on earth. Although it's on earth, nevertheless, Krishna made the night of the Rasa Leela equal to a night of Lord Brahma. 1,000 Divya Yugas, 1,000 passings or cycles of Satya, Chaitanya, Dwarpa, and Kali. So this way, Shukadeva Goswami shows you from so many angles, there's nothing material about this event. It's completely a happening of the spiritual energy. So finally, what is the benediction that Shukadeva Goswami gives in the last verse of this chapter on the Rasa Dance? It's a very famous verse. Vikriyatam Vrajavadubhidam Shavishno Shuddhanvito Nushunayatavanayatya Bhaktim Parambalavati Pratilavya Kamam Kridrogam Ashtapahit Nauts Gatsurena Dhira. Anyone who faithfully hears or describes the Lord's playful affairs with the young gopis of Vrindavan will attain the Lord's pure devotional service. Thus, he will quickly become sober and conquer lust, the disease of the heart. Well, this is a very famous verse. And this is Shukadeva Goswami's final point. In other words, how can you say that there's something material about Krishna's Rasa Leela when the fact is, if you hear that Leela with a sober mind and a faithful attitude, you'll become, your heart will become cleansed of material lust. So how can the Lord's Leela be material? If it is so, then by properly hearing that Leela, you become cured of the most dangerous heart disease, lust. So this verse implies a long discussion about what it means to hear the Lord's Rasa Leela with faith, and who is sober. In other words, we have to be qualified to take this cure. If you prematurely try to take this cure, it can do you harm. You have to be ready for this cure. Just like in some forms of medicine, the doctor may know that a certain powerful tonic will cure you, but he may tell you, you're not yet ready for that powerful tonic. Your system can't handle it yet. I've got to build up your strength gradually. So this is the same thing with Rasa Leela. Hearing the Lord's Rasa Leela will cure your heart of lust, but you have to be ready for that cure. Your system has to be strengthened and built up. So, tonight we're celebrating, according to the Vaishnava calendar, the Lord's Rasa Yatra, his Rasa dancing in the autumn season. And therefore we have spoken from the appropriate chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam. Any questions?
I have a question to the romance. Is it so because the Nitya Bhada, the conditioned soul, is basically coming in the true world the first time? And due to, in order to be happy here, and because Lord Brahma wanted also the four Kumaras to be there, but they said, no way, we're not going to get entangled. So, if everybody would follow this, you know, like the Kumaras, if you follow the foot of me, mature world wouldn't, people wouldn't be there. So actually, then Lord Brahma created Shiva. You know, is it true that he created Lord Shiva to put the people in such a tamaroon that they actually desire to get married so that the mature world is going to be populated and so called management started?
First of all, you have material bodies. And then you have the consciousness where you want to imitate Krishna. And then there is the need to expand the population. Because conditioned souls want to experience the material world. Only a minority of Krishna's parts and parcels want to come to the material world. It's like only a minority of people in Germany are in jail or in prison. So, the demigods, as the Bhagavatam explains, make certain parts of the material body very lust-sensitive in order to inspire people to increase the population. It's an arrangement done by material nature, carried out by the demigods, that certain parts of the human body are sensitive in a certain way, so that people will become motivated to increase the population. And that way, those who want to come to the material world have a chance to appear in various bodies, birth after birth.
is also a kind of preparation before entering this, because in school, the school had an experience in the school, because he was in a neutral situation. You know, the Catholic, this is coming from this Tatasashatam religion.
Let us just concentrate.
So, is it a preparation of getting to know, like Mountain Runga, say for example, in order to be with your wife, you have to also somehow live with her, so that everything works nicely. Is it kind of a preparation for the spiritual exchange?
No. No. That's Sukadeva Goswami's point. You cannot compare the two.
No. I mean, the kind of preparation.
No.
Some idea.
No. No.
So what's the point behind this?
Behind what?
I think that how it should work.
The point of having children is to raise them in Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, but how would it work? Romance can never happen. How would I do in that life?
It's not my department of expressing. I wasn't man enough for the job. All ashrams have as their goal spiritual purification, so you can enter into the family of Krishna. All right. Any other questions? Yes.
Yeah, you just spoke how we should be our system should be prepared to understand this Rasa Lila and can you say something more about it?
I gave you an example of how there's some medicine that's too powerful if you're in weak health, even though the medicine will cure you. If you take it too quickly, it'll create negative reactions in you. So, one has to become purified enough to be able to hear Krishna's confidential pastimes so that your mind is not disturbed. Otherwise, with a polluted mind, you'll immediately think of your ordinary mundane activities. So you have to rise to a sufficient level of purification so that you can hear Krishna's pastimes of this nature without your mind imposing material concepts and material experiences upon them. That takes some time in Krishna consciousness. But it will happen, especially if you gradually, thoroughly follow the process of bhakti yoga and you're hearing about Krishna's pastimes from an authorized source. Now, in Krishna book, you have Rasa Lila there. But there, Prabhupada has explained everything with proper philosophical clarification so that even an ordinary person can read it and will not become bewildered if the person actually reads the full description that Prabhupada has given. Even so, devotees are instructed to hear all of Krishna's pastimes. Don't prematurely specialize. Learn how to appreciate everything that Krishna does, everything that all the incarnations of the Lord do. And then, as you become purified, naturally, your original spiritual flavor will develop. But that takes time.
Thank you, Maharaj, for this wonderful class. I just wanted to, you mentioned that gopis, they had doubles so that their husbands, they were not even jealous when they were dancing with Krishna. Could you say a little more about it? Because gopis are glorified because of they broke through these family bondages,
yes.
And even their family members.
Yes. So.
if you could just say how it, it's described, family members even wanted to stop them to go to Rasa Dhyana.
Yes. And so?
Because at one side, their family members and husbands were not aware that they were dancing with Krishna, but on the other side, it's described that
it's all arranged by Krishna's lila shakti, his pastime energy. He has an energy that manages his personal pastimes so that the pastimes happen with maximum drama, maximum attractiveness. He has an energy that takes care of all that. So yes, the husbands were trying to keep the young gopis at home. That's part of the whole lila. But then they realized by their age of yoga maya, they actually never left home. They've been with us all the time. So both things are going on.